This is Seeking the Calm with Shane Dennis.
Where to begin? I think I left you guys off with boundaries in January. I just needed to take a little bit of break with podcasting. I haven't hit burnout. I've already hit that before, so I do still have a lot of energy. I still want to continue these podcasts. I just honestly haven't had time. My time has really been focused on these van builds that I got going on. And for the next couple months, that's where my time will be as well. But I'll just, dive into it since we left off from boundaries in January. In beginning of February, I don't even know what to call Catherine. She's not my assistant. That's crazy because we work together pretty much. So, I guess business partner, I guess we can call Catherine. She recently sold her house and is jumping into van life. And she brought a 159 ProMaster up here to Bend, Oregon. So since then, we've been working on that. And actually had to have a buddy come out and work on my 170 Sprinter van that I have for another client because I am just getting so overwhelmed with so much work. And he basically did all the insulation and we cut all the holes in the van and did all the hard stuff pretty much. So once I am completed with Catherine's build, which will be in the next upcoming week, I can dive into this other build, which I named Lewis. I don't know if they're going to be crazy about the name that I picked for their van. They probably won't keep it, but I named their van Lewis. Specifically because everything, just green reminds me of Lewis. Like the name Lewis for some reason. I don't know. I think of green when I think of Lewis. I see green when I see Lewis. And with this van build, the tweed on the inside, so it'll be on the inside of the door frames and stuff, is like this really cool green color. And so everything's like, it just makes sense for me to name the van Lewis. So his name is Lewis, and I am predicted to be done with Lewis by mid-June if all goes according to plan. If I don't get overwhelmed or have a nervous breakdown or something like that, which the possibilities are, they're there for all of that. But, Catherine's van has been a pretty fun build out. The electrical system is probably my favorite besides the walnut that we're using as trim pieces and the ceiling pieces. But yeah, I got to put together a really cool electrical tower and really excited to build another one for the next van. I have some pretty exciting stuff coming forth. Me and my buddy have been working on something for the past couple months, and that's also been, occupying my time, starting another company with him. And basically, I'm not telling you what we're doing, but yeah, we got some pretty big things going on. And look forward to stepping into that realm of van life, which is, a supplier. And, I'm also going to be a builder at the same time, but I really am expanding myself as an entrepreneur. I started a rental company, which will launch in, I want to say mid-June. I could be done with this first van. So I have a white E350. It's got the big block engine too. Pull a lot of weight. It's a passenger van, so it's got windows all around. It's awesome. I'm going to put a tent on top. I'm going to do a simple build on the inside, fan, all that. And I'm going to start renting out these camper vans. I want to build a fleet and just, I'm going to start small, but, expand from there. And going to move into buses as well. I did buy a bus. I don't know if I talked about that in my last podcast. But yes, I bought a 24-foot Thomas school bus. It has the, or it's an international school bus, so it has the big, you know, chassis on it. It doesn't have the van front end with the big body on the back that, like, I like those vans. I don't think they can tow a lot of weight, and I don't like the fact that you have to build over the wheel wells. It just is a real waste of space to me. And with those particular vans, you can't do roof raises. So I was seeking out this van because I can do a 15-inch or 18-inch roof raise, I believe. And so I ended up deciding not to raise the roof because this van's going to become a part of my rental fleet, and putting that much money into something that I'm going to be renting out just doesn't make sense financially. So it's like $10,000 to raise a roof, and I'm not spending that and, you know, renting it out. I'd rather buy like a shuttle bus or something with a higher ceiling and then start renting that out as well. I just want to have these really cool vehicles, and yeah, and raising the roof might be a liability also as well, especially if there's an accident. You know, if you modify anything on these vehicles, you know, they could come after you for that sort of thing. So that's also what I'm keeping in mind as well. If it was my own vehicle, which it was supposed to be, I was going to live in this thing. I was going to make it basically half my workshop, half living quarters. And I was going to raise the roof so I have all this room. And I was going to put the elevator bed to the ceiling so the bed was out of the way and I could just, you know, do my thing below, watch TV, whatever it was. And so yeah, I'm just all over the place. Plans are changing all over. I'm actually hitting the road soon, which I'm pretty excited and eager to do. I've kind of hit this, I don't want to call it a wall, but I came to this fork in the road where I had to make a decision to expand my business or stay small. And, like, yeah, in everyone's mind, they're probably thinking, oh, yeah, of course you should expand, Shane. You can do it. But, like, you guys don't know what I walked away from. Like, I had a family business. Like, I was walking into a sure thing. I would have been happy and successful selling hot tubs, servicing hot tubs on the Jersey Shore. My parents have built two amazing businesses over the last 15 years, I'd say, or 20 years. Well, no, they've been in business for over 30 years, but their real success with their business has come in, you know, the early 2000s is when we started really selling a lot and picking up and becoming one of the bigger dealers. But yeah, I don't chase money, and I could easily get a shop somewhere, hire some employees, get client builds, and just become a big van building company. But the truth to the matter is, being an owner is extremely difficult. Having employees is extremely difficult. Having people on payroll is extremely difficult. And they probably don't like it, but these builders that have like these, you know, big warehouses and these big shops and all that, I make as much money, if not more money than them, running my business out of a driveway. And that's the truth. Because all their money has to go back into the business and all that stuff. And, like, you're not making a crap ton of money with these vans. You know, you're only making a certain amount of money. And when you're paying people on top of that, and like, how much time it takes to build these things, unless you have an army working for you, it's a lot goes into it. Insurance, you know, all that stuff. And, God, you put all your trust in your employees. One thing could go wrong. It's like, I'm not there yet to where I could go into work and be happy and comfortable every day. I'm still learning a lot. There are days when I'm wanting to throw shit at walls, you know, break shit. Like, I'm cursing up a storm because I'm learning from my mistakes to become what I want to become. And when you have all this responsibility and all this stress on top of that, it's not fun. I've watched my dad do it my entire life, and that's not how I want to learn and run my business, because I could start my business and I could hit the pause button and then start my business in 8 years and still make as much, if not more money than I would now. So it's like, I know that, you know, I'm not in a rush for anything. I know how the world works. Patience is key, all that stuff. And I'm basically still establishing myself in the social media realm as well. And that puts a bigger price on my builds also. And God, I see these builders out here who have no solid reputation, at least. They're not known, and they're building these, you know, $200,000 vans, and they can't sell them. And it's like, who's gonna buy a van from some kid, from some young kid who just looked up all this stuff on YouTube and threw this thing together? Who's going to give them $200,000? It's like, slim to none. You may fool some people, you know. You may, and like, it's not even like, it's almost just like they just want to get the builds done and get them out of there and get them sold, and they don't want to ever worry about them again. They don't put the heart into it, and they don't put the thought into it about, hey, this thing's gonna have some problems in a few months, you know, after they use it a few times. Like, I'm gonna have to service this. Like the service aspect is so important with business. And I see all these young people like just coming in here and just trying to make a quick buck. Meanwhile, I'm out here basically working for free on people's builds, establishing my reputation, building my portfolio. So like, the person who bought my van, he just sold his company. He's a young guy, just sold his company and wants to travel with his wife. How is he going to find you when you just built this van? Like, how is he going to find you? What are you going to put it up on Craigslist? What are you going to put a for sale sign on? It's like, he found me through the social media realm because I established myself in van life. He found me through YouTube. He started diving into the van life realm on YouTube videos, and he saw my video where I explained I'm a builder, and I was showing the van and saying this van is for sale, and he bought it. It's like there are these guys out here putting $200,000 price tags on their vans, and nobody knows who they are. I don't even know their names, their full names. And honestly, I'm able to put my ego aside and admit that this realm of building, van life, bus life, all that, is a lot harder. And there's a lot more to it than these young kids think. And they just watch all these YouTube videos and they do all this stuff and have these fancy shops with these fancy tools and their saw stops and their routers and their jigs and all this stuff. And like, it's like, that's great. But, you know, you sell a van for over $100,000 and it starts falling apart a few months later and you're backed up with all this work and doing all this stuff. How are you going to get to them? Then your reputation starts falling apart and so forth and blah, blah, blah. You get angry. You become resentful. You start hating other builders that are becoming successful. I see it happening within my own realm as well. I see friends that fellow builders. I see the jealousy. I see, you know, the conversations get shorter, you know, when one person becomes successful and they're, you know, struggling. It's like, I notice these things. I see the stress that comes with it. And I'm not ready to take on that shit yet. I still have a lot to learn. You know, like, I still want to improve my framing. I still want to, like, there's so much I want to improve in my woodworking. Like, who the hell am I to take something, like, okay, like a bus for $10,000, buy a bus for $10,000, put $20,000 into it, and then turn around and sell it for $80,000. Who the do I think I am, honestly? Am I worth $50,000? No, I'm not. And these builders are finding out the hard way. Their inventory, all their stuff is just sitting there. Their builds are just sitting there. I went through it as well for a little bit until I lowered the price and found the right buyer. And I had to, you know, I had to get rid of a vehicle. I had to get rid of the black Ford Transit that I was going to build out because it was just burying me. I had to dive into my 401k to keep my business afloat over the winter until, you know, my van sold. You know, as soon as my van sold, then, you know, it was like a green light. It's like, just started buying up vehicles, and then vehicles started coming to me as well, which, you know, it's all about energy and all that stuff, because I wasn't desperate to sell the van anymore. When you get desperate to sell something, you see it. You know, you see the desperate, you hear it, and they're not proud of it. They just want to get rid of it at that point. And you don't want to buy something like that from someone. You're just going to have problems down the line. So, what's going on in my life in the next couple months? I'm going to be snowboarding until late May, it looks like. The mountain will be open, so going to be finishing up Catherine's build in the next week and focusing on the Lewis build, and just snowboarding, relaxing, doing my thing, back in my groove. This month has been pretty hectic. Actually, my hot chocolate might be the perfect temperature. Everyone's like, you drink hot chocolate? Yeah, it's a hot chocolate mushroom extract blend with cacao. And I put turmeric in it, honey, and all that stuff. Ooh, that's good. Oh, yeah. That's my morning drink. I quit drinking coffee. Coffee gets my heart rate too crazy. Doesn't work with my chemistry anymore. Used to. I loved coffee. Drink freaking 4 or 5 cups a day if I wanted to. But can't do coffee anymore. So, for the next couple months, so I haven't been able to, I've been so stressed, I've just been so focused on trying to get Catherine's build done, and I had my friend living here for 18 days. And, you know, in a small apartment, a one studio apartment, I set up my tent for him so he can be in the tent by himself. But there was just no privacy. There was, you know, there wasn't any writing for me. There wasn't any creativity. I wasn't really playing music. It was just, and then it turned into something. And then I ended up getting angry. I'm starting to really learn about who I am and what I need in life, not necessarily what I want. Yeah, like, I want to be a normal person and live a normal life and have, like, a normal relationship and all that, but that's not possible for me. I'm a very complex person. You can put labels and all that stuff on it, whatever you want to do, but I see life a certain way and I want to live a certain way. I don't live selfishly and I don't want to live with people who are selfish and all that. And I have a lot that I need to work on and a lot that, you know, a lot that goes against the grain with like normal relationships and all that. Like, I sleep on the floor. It's weird. Yeah. I sleep on the floor. I like a hard surface. It's like, where am I gonna, you know, I like to sleep outside in a tent. It's like, it's just, I like to sleep alone. I don't like sleeping with people. It's, I like to have, you know, weeks on end in solitude. It's like, who's gonna put up with all this stuff? It's like, yeah, just gotta wait, stick around, find the right person, blah, blah, blah. But like, there's still a lot that I'm learning about myself. Sorry, I'm like massaging my ankle right now. Move it around. Sitting Indian style and my foot fell asleep. I haven't really been up on my meditation either, which has kind of been driving me crazy. I started my practice in 2017, 18, yeah, right on the border, 2018, and my practice was always very strong, and meditation is something that is very, you know, much needed in my life, but lately I've just been, you know, it's hard to meditate with other people. I haven't gotten there yet where I can just be peaceful around. I'm very, you know, frequencies, all that stuff. Like, people, if somebody, like, I remember when I had a house and I'd be sleeping in my room and I'd, you know, a buddy or two would be crashing on the couch, I couldn't sleep. It's really weird. It keeps me awake. I like to sleep alone in solitude. That's why I loved living in a van and, you know, being out in the woods and sleeping in a tent all by myself, no one around, just underneath the stars. And yeah, I'm still working on wanting company and all that. Like, solitude, and I try to fight it and pretend that I don't, but that's really honestly what I prefer. Kind of weird, but yeah. So in the next couple months, I'm going to be working on the school bus, getting the school bus up and running. Well, it's running, but ready and livable, because I'm going to live in it for... Well, my plan is to finish out the bus. The bus will be for sale, and then I'm just going to go live in this thing. And I will have my van done as well also. So I'll just park my van and the storage unit where I have my bus parked right now. And then my van will just sit there until, you know, next rental season. Or if I'm living in the bus, yeah, this is my plan, is to live in the bus. I'm going to go and travel in Colorado. Then Gutted Season 2 is happening in, I believe, October, somebody said. So I'll be hitting up that. I think it's in Kansas City this year, which would be pretty cool. So I'll just be in, like, that, you know, area of the United States, September and October. And then I plan on, you know, hitting all, like, the festivals and stuff like that, like Schoolypalooza, 100% I'm going to. And, you know, my bus is going to be for sale at these events, and I'm hoping it just sells, and I'll just get a rental vehicle, load all my stuff in, you know, shake the hands, kiss the babies, whatever, say goodbye to the bus. and then just go peace out for a little bit. And I have a plan to buy land eventually. I just haven't exactly figured out where I want to settle. And that's one of the reasons why I want to go travel Colorado more. Colorado has always been a place near and dear to my heart. I started going there when I was 14 years old. My dad started bringing me on ski trips. I would do like 3 or 5 a year. So skiing out west, you know, I grew up doing it, even though I was a, you know, shooby, a Jerry, whatever they call them on the mountains, a non-local. But yeah, when I was in high school, I went and visited Boulder University or whatever it's called. So I was going to go to college in Boulder. I was planned on working on the mountain. I was a chef at the time, so I was just going to, like, you know, work behind the lines and make burgers and stuff, or then work on the lift lines and, you know, live that life. And then I just started worrying about money. And I had an awesome job at Lex-Mex. I was making tacos, all that stuff. I was a chef for like 3 years. And I started comparing my salary to other people, because my friends were making more than me, and they were making like fries and stuff. And they were fry cooks. And here I am making like this like really good high-end food, and I'm only getting paid like 12 bucks an hour. No, I was getting paid 10 bucks an hour, actually. And I let that get to me. And that was the decline in myself, because I was self-made at that point. Didn't work for my family or anything. I was doing my own thing. I probably honestly would have bought a van and peaced out and went to like California, like, because my boss had a van, lived in a van for a little bit, and it was just like all in my, you know, realm, my area. And then a car accident happens you know, shortly after that, and then I was in this just downfall of learning in life, you know, which eventually brought me to van life, which has been my savior. And I'm really looking forward to getting back on the road and really focusing on these podcasts, connecting with other, you know, podcasters, other artists, other individuals in the nomadic community, people wanting to grow and see, you know, start more businesses, you know, let go of businesses, let go of things, move on to the next, all that. The thought of just doing one thing, like getting a garage and just building vans and working on vans, that's not what I want to do. Might be somebody's, you know, dream, but certainly not mine. I want to have so many different things going on. I want to have a big, massive, yeah, there's something I got to talk about. I'm on edge. I just heard a noise and it, you know, made me look really quick. I have a stalking situation going on in my life. And, you know, I've had people, disruptors in my life before. You know, I had this one kid that worked for me years ago. And, you know, I found out later he was on heroin, which I didn't know at the time, but he was having like some sort of mental breakdown, and I guess we kind of decided to take it out on each other. Like, he took it out on me, I took it out on him, blah, 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 vice versa. But, yeah, he ended up throwing hot coffee on me and stuff, and, I had to threaten to press charges, and he just kept showing up and harassing me. And it was a very uneasy feeling, especially with a kid who, you know, who has access to weapons and stuff like that, and has, you know, a mental issues. So I've dealt with this before, but this situation is a little bit different. I sold my truck a few weeks ago, and I bought it for $2,800 off Craigslist. Like, where else are you going to sell a $2,800 truck? Craigslist. So, listed on Craigslist, meet the guy at, a grocery store parking lot, public parking lot. I got my buddy with me. Whatever. I don't end up selling it to this guy, sell it to another guy. But this guy, the first guy that I showed it to, knew where I lived and knew a lot about me, which was really weird. And then later that day, he showed up at my house. And I was being really friendly with him. And, I was trying to sell a vehicle in the beginning. So I was like, yeah. I was being cool. I was like, oh, yeah, you know where I live? I wasn't being like, wait, you know where I live? Like, what? Like, I was trying to, be cool about the situation. Like, he said his daughter lived right around the corner. And it turns out that, she does live 2 blocks down and 1 block over. So him seeing my truck was very likely, So anyway, he shows up and I tell him, I'm like, hey, you can't just show up like this, buddy. I'm like, you got my number. If you need anything, just, give me a call. And at this point, he's wasted, just drunk as a skunk, and starts firing off about how he has someone who wants to invest in me and all this stuff, and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, he was trying to give me his dog and stuff. It was really weird. It was a really weird situation. And I told him that, you can't come around here. And I see him driving by again. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to have a fucking discussion with this guy. So the other day, I'm driving back and there's a car parked in my spot in front of my driveway. And it's very convenient for me because I can just walk out. My tools are right there. Otherwise, I have to park on the other side of the street and I have to walk across the street every time I need tools. It's like one parking spot. So I'm like, whatever. I'm like, God damn it. So I do a U-turn. I start coming around and it's the guy sitting there. And he rolls down the window and he's like, and starts saying something about my truck. And I look at him. I go, buddy, I told you not to come around here anymore. He's like, oh, I go, you come around here again, I'm gonna fuck you up. And I was real, like, I'm from New Jersey, I don't care. Like, whatever. That might be crazy to you guys. Not crazy to me, it's a normal thing. It was crazy to him. He was like, like shock a little bit. I was like, I'm not fucking around, dude. I was like, don't come around here again. And so I parked my van and I walked up to the back of his vehicle and I told him to drive the fuck off. And he wouldn't, kept putting up a peace sign at me. I'm just like, I just want you to fucking leave. That's it. My concern is I have a man from Craigslist who's drunk, obviously. I have no idea what this man is capable of. I live in a open carry and concealed carry state. I have two housemates that are female living with me. I don't want a fucking dude from Craigslist coming even within 50 feet from them. And, meanwhile, I have Catherine who is up, I'm working on her van. So she's within, 50 feet with this guy. And like, so it was just a very uneasy feeling. I didn't want him there. Finally, he pulled away. And I just had this gut feeling that he was going to come back. Sure enough, the next day I'm working. I'm laying underneath Catherine's van, doing my thing. I'm in a very vulnerable position too, and I remember thinking to myself, like, if this dude just walks up right now, he could just like easily like chop me in half with a machete. And a massive RV pulls up when Catherine leaves. Like it was like clockwork. And I can't see inside this RV. I don't know who's driving this RV. So this massive RV is parked in front of my place where I'm working and is sitting there. And this isn't the first time an RV's been there. An RV parks across the street all the time. Like, we see RVs pull up and go. Like this truck camper is always pulling up in front of the mailbox. He stays there for a little bit and then he goes. So it wasn't like ringing any bells. The guy the day before, he drove a Tahoe the first time and then drove a car this time. I'm not thinking it's him. Catherine pulls up. She goes to pull in our spot, but she can't because there's an RV there. So I pull her up behind the RV, about 3 feet behind. He has enough room to pull out and has enough room to back up a little bit and leave if he needs to. So she goes upstairs inside. I go about my business. I start working again. I'm underneath the van and the RV starts up and rams into my van. And I'm like, what the fuck? Walk out there. I'm like, what are you, an idiot? And as soon as I said idiot, I saw this dude in the mirror and it was the dude from the day before. And I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And he's wasted off his ass. He starts screaming, just stay out of my fucking life. Like, this is crazy. So I'm just like, dude, I just pull out my phone. I snap his license plate. I video him speeding off. Call the cops. I'm like, I'd like to report a hit and run, please. This guy just hit my van. He's fucking drunk as hell. He sped off. Yo. As I'm on the phone with dispatch, he rolls back around. I took cover. I didn't know if he had a gun or not. He leaves again. Then Bend police roll up. Bend police roll up deep, dude. Like 5 police officers surrounding the area. Given the description of the guy, blah, blah, blah. As soon as I said his daughter lived in the area, they just like fanned out. Just like start searching the area. It was awesome. Bend Police Department is legit. Good hot chalky. So, the cop tells me to come over to his vehicle that's in the road. Walk over with him. He pulls up a picture of this dude. I'm like, yeah, that's a dude. I'm like, fuck, he's got a mugshot. He's got a record. Crazy dude. And I look to my right, and this dude's rolling down the road in the RV with a cop behind him. I'm like, officer. He's like, get on that side of the road. I'm like, yep. I walk over into my yard. This dude is leading the cops around my neighborhood on a police chase. I kid you not. I'm just up in my apartment. Catherine's got the door closed. She's just like, holy shit. Because she can see the whole thing going down. So cops show up like 20 minutes later. The one cop, I'm like, whoa. That was pretty intense. He's like, yeah, he's in jail on a DUI, blah, blah, blah. We filed a stalking order against him. Oregon's very strict on stalking orders, which is pretty cool. So he has to go before a judge on Monday and explain himself. And has me everywhere. Like, I used to sleep with my door unlocked. Or, you know, I would leave my door unlocked when I left. I would leave my dog on the deck, like, and just lock the gate. And, like, I can't do any of that anymore. Every time I'm outside working, I'm looking over, I'm watching my back. I have ways of protection and all that. Like, no, there's no needs of worrying about that area. But I don't like feeling like this. And it really makes me think about, you know, us men and how women have to live in this world with us and how they must feel. And, you know, it's not even 1/10 of, you know, like a girl that's like 5'4", you know, 105 pounds, that's dealing with this stalker that I'm dealing with, who's 6'2", 190 pounds, like, who is crazy, obviously, and will come back. It's like, I didn't used to live in any kind of fear or worry whatsoever. I walked freely. I walked until my home and my, you know, I was violated, you know, I'm being terrorized by a man. And I am not afraid to defend myself or anything like that. Like, I'm not afraid of him hurting me in any ways, but it's disrupting my peace. I can't sleep at night. Like, I'm very on edge. If I hear a noise, I'm like, I check. Something, I hear something outside, I'm outside within a second, like, flashlight in hand, like, weapon in hand. Like, I don't want to live like that. Yeah. So, I'm going to be very cautious in the future about my locations, what I share, you know, all that stuff, where I'm at, until I finally have my own property that I can protect and I don't have to worry about, you know, other individuals on the property. Like, it's stressful enough worrying about myself, but I have to worry about the safety of others, because if something happens to them, essentially, you know, it's like I'm gonna feel responsible. And so it's not the reason why I'm getting back on the road, but very eager to get back on the road for that reason. So less harder to track down. Yeah. Honestly, I think this is probably the best thing that could have happened to, you know, not just me, but the individual as well. I'm hoping and praying that he sobers up and sees how ridiculous he was acting. I don't know if he, like, if he's gay, whatever, or if he just wants to be my friend. I don't know. But I'm not into it. I'm not into dudes, like, chicks, strictly chicks. And but, and, you know, my, you know, somebody had said something about, you know, it's like different approach, you know, like like women take different approaches and this and that. It's like my kindness is what got me into the situation to begin with. If I was very standoffish and very, you know, if I wasn't so friendly, like, he thought he was my friend. That's what got me into trouble. So me flipping the switch like that and becoming, you know, aggressive and really quick was necessary, was the necessary route. And I'm glad that it did, because it took, you know, something that could have taken months of escalation happened in 24 hours, literally. Like, he led police on a police chase. Like, the next step after that is, like, gunshots, all that shit. And, like, hopefully this small situation, it's not that small, but this situation, like, could have prevented something bigger from happening. And I believe everything happens for a reason, and, you know, the good Lord sent him to me for a reason. Not me. We like to give people a chance. Anyway, I shouldn't talk too much about it. I think I have to go to court and all that shit. What a mess. But, yeah, it's really made me look at things differently. Not just, you know, myself, my own safety, but others around me. And how I want to live my life and conduct myself. And so there's no consequences for anybody. And even though I took the proper steps, the proper precautions, like, I was safe. I went with a friend. I went to a public place. It wasn't my home. Like, it still caught up to me. So there's a lesson to be learned in all of this. And Yeah. Take care of the people around you. And yeah. I think that's gonna be it for the podcast. We're gonna try to pick it up next week. Hopefully, Catherine's van will be wrapped up. She'll probably just be finishing up, like finishing touches and stuff like that. But I'll be taking a day or two off and then immediately starting on Lewis. I know what you're thinking. Shane, take a break. God, I can't even move my neck. I'm so sore. No. No, I'm a worker. I'll take a break when I'm done with this van. And I'm just gonna beat the shit and abuse my body until this van's done. That's how I work. That's how I do it. So, love you guys, and I'll catch you on the next one.